You're listening to the Rubbish Trip Podcast. Two no-waste nomads talk trash with people in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
At the beginning of August 2017, the Rubbish Trip passed through the town of Matamata after being invited by the local transition town. The International Transition Town movement seeks to foster sustainable endeavours in local communities. At the time of our visit, Transition Matamata had embraced, with gusto, the Kiwi Bottle Drive, a national campaign seeking to institute a container deposit scheme for recyclable bottles across the country. Today, we are lucky enough to be sitting down with Colin and Gabriel Kemplin, two members of Transition Matamata who have been at the forefront of Transition Matamata's Kiwi Bottle Drive, so we can get a sense of what it's all about.
I think what we learned on the way through was that just from comments that people made when they signed the petition or when we talked about what we were doing, and that we were trying to increase recycling rates and keep these things out of landfill, we just realised that the politicians are out of touch with the people. Mm. You know, that was one of the things that came through very clearly. Mm. Because they're going, well, it's a no-brainer. Why aren't we doing this?
You know there's all these things that shouldn't be put in landfill. But as an individual, I mean, you can put the odd bottle in the right place, but who else is doing it? So when they saw a petition to the parts of government, wow, somebody else is actually organising it and doing it collectively. It's going to have much more power than me just on my little own self.
Hello, Colin and Gabriel. It's Hello. Very exciting to be here, sitting
Hello.
By your warm
Hello.
Fireplace.
Hello.
Nice for you to be here.
Thank you.
So I guess we kind of wanted to kick off with a very broad question, really, about what the National Kiwi Bottle Drive campaign is, what it's all about, what it's trying to achieve.
It's endeavouring to bring in a 10-cent deposit scheme on all plastic bottles, glass bottles and cans so that it keeps bottles, cans and glass out of landfill and gives them value so that therefore children will get together and pick up bottles, cans and plastic containers and use it as a fundraiser.
Right. So if you have a deposit scheme like this where people get 10 cents, if they bring the bottle back, the idea or the theory is that then littering will go down and recycling rates will go up.
At the moment, less than 40% of all of these containers go for recycling. And in countries where the 10-cent bottle deposit scheme has been introduced, that increases the percentage up to around 90%.
Mm.
It is just amazing,
yeah.
The difference it makes. And as a shining example, South Australia and the Northern Territory runs the scheme, and the littering in that part of the world is minimal, simply because all of that litter has value. The scouts run the recycling depots and earn a heap of money for their cause.
So the Kiwi Bottle Drive is a national campaign. What did Transition Matamata do specifically? How did you make it your own? Or what was the specific activities that you undertook?
The week before the big day, which was the Saturday, starting on the Monday, there were five areas within the town where we had a table and we encouraged people to sign the petition.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
That they weren't bringing their bottles back. Just sign the petition. And then on the Saturday we had the bottle drive, and that was advertised, and people came along basically in their droves.
Mm-hmm.
And by in about 2 hours we had 5,000 plastic bottles, glass bottles and cans.
And wow. So people were invited to bring these bottles.
Definitely.
And then did you give them money as
we
if it were?
Did.
Mm-hmm. We did. As if it was, as if the whole thing was, this is how it was, this is how
yeah.
it worked.
Mm.
So we were funded through Kiwanis Matamata, through the Matamata Piako District Council,
mm-hmm.
because they are obviously keen to keep less in the landfill is better
yeah.
for them,
yeah.
and Smart Environmental, who are the contractors to Matamata Piako District Council. So we had funding from those three sources, And I'd have to say it was a brilliant success.
The model that you followed for the Kiwi Bottle Drive in Matamata, was it inspired by what had gone on? Because Kiwi Bottle Drive has been all around the country, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I guess we were inspired through Sandra Murray, who is very much involved in the
Product Stewardship Council.
And she came and had a chat to us when she was passing through Matamata and described what they'd done in Kaitaia, where it had been particularly successful. And they'd pulled in something like 20,000 bottles up there.
On that day.
Just over 3 hours on the Saturday morning. Huge. And I think they might have run out of money. We didn't run out of money, but now the other thing was, we encouraged the younger generation, the school children, to make it part of their fundraising for their school. And I mean, for instance, the Matamata Christian School came along, and they had
706 bottles, cans or plastic bottles. So as a reward for those children, and sometimes even for the adults, we had little certificates with their name, how many bottles they collected, and what they were worth. And they were so proud of them. It was wonderful. It was just their faces. Oh, I've got a certificate.
Well, we remember one young man who got a gold medal a few days before as well.
Right.
That was a local guy. He was right onto it.
He's seven.
His name is Dylan Hughes, and Dylan encouraged his mother to drink more cider with her girlfriends because he was keen to get some more bottles. He brought to our meeting something like 50 of his plastic bottles that he'd collected, and I think on the day he came along and he had something like 500 and something. And he was just so enthusiastic and such a shining ambassador.
It was so
for the
lovely though, because he was also given a gold medal. And he said to his mother later, she was speaking to us, and she said, "I was amazed." He said, "Because when I said that, they all clapped me." He said, "I've never had that before."
I think the point about that is that he won't forget that. He won't forget that the impact he made. I mean, he won't realise now, but when in 10 years' time, he'll go, "Hey, that was me." Part of the scheme was to encourage people to send the message very clearly to Scott Simpson, who's the Associate Minister for the Environment. We provided stickers that they could put onto a plastic bottle and send it off to Scott in the Beehive, directly to his office.
And free
post, of course, because you can write to your MP. And you could put on the sticker why you wanted the plastic kept out of the landfill and recycled. And I think by the end of the week, Scott had received about 350 plastic bottles from Matamata.
And you were saying as well, the post shop was very excited about giving you bags to send these bottles.
Yeah. They gave us a special post bag, and they had a wry smile on their face because you can't actually fit a plastic bottle through the slot. But we told them what we were doing, because one of the information table locations, the very first one, was outside the post shop in Matamata.
Where everybody goes.
Yeah, everyone goes on Monday morning. They go and pick up their mail. And the women in the post shop, they with a wry smile, they said, "Yeah, we'll provide you some bags." And they provided the big bags, which we filled with plastic bottles. And then they put the official seal on them and sent them off to Walter.
Did you have any response?
He wasn't best pleased. Okay. He said because the local paper in Matamata contacted his office and asked for a comment, and he said, "Well, they could have just sent me an email."
I'm rather irritated, he said. Just send an email.
But an email, you can just sort of click the delete button and it disappears. Yeah. You can't disappear 350 plastic bottles with messages on them.
Wow. And well, this is the thing. If you don't want them in your office, then why are you okay with them being floating around in the sea or in a hole in the ground? Yeah.
And it really surprises me, personally, anyway, because Scott Simpson's the MP for Coromandel. And Coromandel is Auckland's
playground.
And would Scott Simpson really want to encourage plastic bottles floating up onto his lovely beaches?
Don't think so.
No. Lovely couple came to us outside the supermarket, an Irish couple, a retired couple. What are you doing? Well, what's this all about? And we said, oh, it's all about recycling and encouraging people to recycle. It's, oh, we do that in Ireland all the time. Yeah. And we chatted, and I said, would you like to send, we also encourage people to send a plastic bottle to Scott Simpson, to the Associate Minister for the Environment. He said, oh, yes, well, I wrote a message on the bottle here. Give us the sticker. What do we put? I said, well, look, put anything you like, but I tell you what, it would be good. Just give him some message in Gaelic about the need to introduce the 10-cent bottle deposit scheme. That'll suit him well. And so they very willingly did. It was absolutely delightful. So we sent Scotty a plastic bottle with a Gaelic message on it.
Who knows what it said?
I'd love to know.
I would have said, oh, hello, it's a fine day today. It could have been worse.
When we did the bottle drive in Matamata, it was just so successful and was embraced by everybody we spoke to.
No.
I think we were continually surprised. Every time we talked to somebody about it.
Yeah. What did they say? They said, oh, this is no brainer. Of course. No. Oh, of course I'll sign. Yeah. Can I sign for my father as well? And all this sort of thing.
Because you two were there on the week leading up. On the street and with the petitions
talking to people all the time.
We chose the places where the most people were going, like pharmacy, two supermarkets, the shop, post shop, and
Paper Plus. And they were really good locations.
And they themselves were more than pleased to have us there. No, that's great.
Never hesitated.
A lot of people, and I think I felt this myself, you know, there's all these things that shouldn't be put in landfill, but as an individual it's very hard for you. I mean, you can put the odd bottle in the right place, but who else is doing it? And why, if I'm the only one, what's the point?
Yeah, am I making a difference?
So when they saw a petition to the government, wow, somebody else is actually organising it and doing it collectively.
Mm.
It's going to have much more power than me just on my little own self.
Yeah. I think one of the things was that we found was that the people of our generation and younger remembered the good old days when every bottle that was ever returned to the corner dairy earned them 5 cents or whatever it was. And so when we said to them, would you like to sign the petition to get government to legislate and bring back in to enact the legislation, which, as you know, is already ready to go, they said, it's an absolute no-brainer. Why don't we do this? Why do we not do this anyway? Why did it lapse? There were some other stories, too, of those people who reminisced about the old days when, as a kid, you got tuppence, threepence or sixpence or whatever it was for a returned glass bottle from the corner dairy. And they said, well, what we used to do, we'd click some bottles, go into the dairy and get our money, and then the dairy owner would take them and he'd put them out the back of the shop ready and waiting for the soft drink company to come and pick them up and take them away. And if you were quick before the soft drink company truck arrived, you'd go around to the back of the shop again and pick up some bottles and take them around the front and go in and get another. And some more money back. And it was the ultimate in recycling, really.
Because then the little boy or girl would have sixpence and buy a little packet of lollies, and they were happy. Everybody was happy.
Yeah, two or three later, they said, "Oh, I remember. Yeah, that's what we used to do." And it was interesting when we were telling people about this, what we were doing. They particularly overseas people, they were saying, But New Zealand's so far behind. Why aren't you doing this anyway?
Mm.
What's the problem? A guy came past and he said, my folks live in Belgium. And apparently in Belgium, they're right onto it.
Mm.
And if you in Belgium make a mistake with what you put into one of the recycling bins, they go through and they find out who it is and they fine you heavily.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps the refuse stream very well divided up, apparently. And similarly in Holland, we had a young guy who'd just come back from Holland, and he said, but in the supermarket there, you take in your plastic bottles, your Coca-Cola bottles and the like, and you put them on a conveyor, and the conveyor can pick up, with obviously electronic sensors, which are acceptable and which are not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And it'll toss out the ones that are not
off the conveyor belt.
And at the end of the sorting of your bottles, it will generate a ticket which has value, which you then give to the checkout when you buy your shopping, and that amount is deducted off your shopping total.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So it just demonstrates a level of sophistication with the way they do their recycling.
I remember also, actually, when we did come to talk to you at your table on the streets of Matamata, you pointed out irony, maybe is the wrong word, I don't know, maybe it's the right word, of having the L&P bottles.
Yes.
It
was a can.
Yes.
Made in New Zealand.
L&P, lemon and pyra.
Pyra, made in New Zealand with the notation on it that if this is disposed of in South Australia, it will earn the Northern Territory, it'll earn you 10 cents.
In New Zealand, nothing.
Exactly.
Right.
But because L&P is sold in South Australia, or in Australia generally, they are bound to put that on there.
Mm.
There.
Mm.
We're so behind the times.
We are behind the times.
We've just taken
our
100% clean, pure, pristine environment for granted.
I think what we learned on the way through was that just from comments that people made when they signed the petition or when we talked about what we were doing, and that we were trying to increase recycling rates and keep these things out of landfill, we just realised that the politicians are out of touch with the people. You know, that was one of the things that came through very clearly. Because they're going, well, it's a no-brainer, why aren't we doing this? And really essentially the problem is that sadly central government doesn't see it as it sees it as a political issue and not so much an environmental issue.
It should be a non-political issue. Everybody should be doing it.
Well, everybody produces waste.
Exactly.
Exactly. Just because I'm in the Labour Party doesn't mean to say I don't produce waste. Or the National Party, whatever. I mean, it's just, it's a nonsense.
Yes.
But and I think one of the other things we found was that whilst central government is perhaps not in touch with the people, local government through Matamata Piako District Council, they were very much in touch, because on Bottle Drive Day, on the Saturday, Mayor Jan Barnes came along to the event.
She was wonderful. She directed the where the cars were to go and where to put your bottles, and went up and spoke to this one and shook hands with the children and
had photographs taken with the kids. And then three of her councillors came along, who were also vitally interested in recycling. Adrienne Wilcox, she's a farmer, and she is involved very much with agricultural container waste, plastic waste recycling. Paul Cronin, he was excited. He was another councillor. And James Sainsbury brought his little family along. So These guys really...
They all had bottles. And then to Van der Molen, a candidate for Matamata.
For the National Party.
Yeah. He was there and he hadn't really thought about it. And he was most impressed.
Mm. It's quite interesting, but I suppose it's the local councils are much closer to the waste because they got to manage it.
They had to manage it, exactly. Mm.
That's right.
Exactly.
But yet the powers in the Act lie with central government.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then it gives local council an understanding, a greater understanding of how the people feel. And who knows, through somebody like Tim van der Molen, the National candidate, he's now got a different take on it because he's got a young family.
Right.
You know, and another one on the way.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, it has impact.
Yeah. So what do you think, I mean, if most people are behind the idea, what is then the hesitation with central government? I mean, why are policymakers at the moment hesitant for this sort of thing?
Pressure from the packaging companies, pressure from the big bottling companies.
Yeah, from the Coca-Colas
and
Coca-Colas
and they're very powerful. You see, they're more powerful because of the financial part of that. Whereas the individual little citizen doesn't have any power at all, really.
Mm.
You see, it's common overseas that the producer of the packaging has to take some responsibility for its ultimate end of life, and these guys, the government's clever because a right-wing government will say, "Well, we'll just make it voluntary." Now, if you make it voluntary,
it's not the same.
Then I haven't really got to do it.
Mm.
If you make it, if you legislate and say you've got to do it, it changes the whole thing.
Or and you get a reward for it. My goodness.
Yeah.
But also from a business's perspective, many businesses would, you know, if it's voluntary scheme on them, for example, firstly they don't have to do it, but also there's a disincentive for them to do it because others aren't doing it. They don't want to be the first mover.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Sometimes,
that's right.
You know, businesses would actually prefer mandatory schemes because then everybody does
that's
it.
That's right. So they've got to have somebody at the top echelon or whatever. Giving everybody, you must do this.
Mm.
One day they're going to wake up and realise how much plastic, for instance, on the planet.
Mm.
And that was really brought home to me when I looked at some statistics which said that in 2016 there are about 480 billion plastic bottles on the planet.
Mm.
And in 2016, our little grandson Oscar was born. When he was born, there were 480 billion plastic bottles on the planet. When he starts school at age five, the projection is there'll be something like 521 billion plastic bottles on the planet. And his grandfather, when he was born, 70 years ago, there were none.
Mm.
There were none.
There was nothing plastic.
Mm.
No plastic bags.
So,
no shopping bags.
No plastic
bottles.
No. Glass bottles, sure, but we cleaned them. Use them again.
Mm. Use them and make jam and chutney in them. That's what all these
are. Mm.
So, you know, it's. I think this elephant in the room is just huge. And we all sort of keep thinking, oh, well, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm.
That's why there are islands in the ocean made of plastic bottles.
Mm.
And okay, if we can do, you know, each of us can do a little bit and hopefully wake up the politicians and start to get into action.
Mm.
So, Transition Matamata, part of the movement.
And great to have given that, to have that knowledge now that the community is behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
If you hadn't have done it, you might not have known.
No,
you might not have been able to
come.
Gabriel, Colin sort of alluded to why it's important to him personally to have the, you know, this kind of scheme instituted, and what motivates you personally to feel like this is important?
How could you not be motivated when you see picked photos of the sea covered in plastic?
Mm-hmm.
You see places with great huge piles of plastic, and you know nothing can happen to it. It's going to always be there. And I worry for my grandchildren.
Mm.
I think, what's the world going to be like when they're 20, 25, 30?
Mm.
And I'd rather, let's get on with it now before it's too late. And I don't know, we may be too late.
Mm. Mm. Well, this is a question for both of you then. I mean, do you have hope? Has being involved in this campaign?
It's given us another thought in our lives, because we've quite gladly sort of put things in the bin and put things there and put things there and take rubbish down to the tip. And now we think, gosh, perhaps we should have separated that bit out and put that there and have been a little bit more careful. And it just made us feel more responsible.
Mm.
And also it rubs on, because we speak to our children and we talk to them about it. And it's interesting how when we were their age with young children, we weren't anywhere near as responsible as they are now with their recycling.
They already are, actually.
Mm.
So it's an emerging process.
Mm.
And I guess, too, when, for me personally, I mean, just through my lifetime, I have developed skills in different areas, and I feel that it's, you know, when you're retired, you can give back to the community. So if I have skills that I can use to further a cause, such as Transition Matter, well, so be it, I'll do it. That's my little contribution.
Mm.
And I go along for the cup of tea at the end.
Oh, that's so important, you know? Yeah, building communities, you know, getting to know one another.
Well, and actually, though, in all seriousness, it is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Like getting together and doing it. Yeah. Having a community and
common good.
And like you say, you don't want to feel like you're alone doing this stuff.
No, that's the thing, I think.
Yeah.
For me, that was the biggest thing that came through to me, was, I'm not alone in this, you know.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colin and Gabrielle, for speaking with us. It's
a pleasure.
It's a great initiative, and we're really behind it. And we hope that central government comes round and we get a bottle deposit scheme in place.
I think they will.